You are now tuned in to the Bleed Blue Show. Here is your host, Steve Blair.
Welcome to another edition of the Bleed Blue Show. Forum for the fans, your co-host Steve. We'll be joined by the stakeholders of the Knicks right now, pretty much on their way to a defeat to the Washington Wizards. The Bleed Blue Show, the Facebook fan page, the Bleed Blue Show, Twitter, Instagram, Google Plus at the Bleed Blue Show. You can download all the audio archives. You can go to iTunes, Podcast Republic, your TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps. You get all the episodes of the Bleed Blue Show. BleedBlueShow.com/podcast, and also go to BleedBlueShow/schedule for all the upcoming episodes here on the Bleed Blue Show. Yankees, Giants, Knicks, Rangers, fan-friendly podcast, the whole nine. So we're talking about a night. This is the first night a new head coach or interim coach, Kurt Rambis, who steps onto the scene. Right before the All-Star break, it was ugly. The season is going down the drain very, very fast. Once was a promising season. Once was a season where we could rely, maybe perhaps gun for an eighth playoff seed. And that looks right now, right before the All-Star break, it's almost out of reach. It's dwindling fast, man. And tonight's game was no exception. The Knicks got down early. They made a good third quarter effort led by Kristaps Porzingis. But outside of that, the Knicks struggled opposing three-point shots tonight. Dudley going off, Bradley Beal going off, John Wall making a couple of shots. He went for almost a dime and a half assists, pretty much 15 assists tonight. They had a lot of easy shots tonight, the Washington Wizards, and that's an issue the Knicks didn't really have early on in the season. They lost their defensive focus, and they're in the struggle of their opponents getting a lot of points, going over the century mark plenty of times, whether it was Denver on Sunday, Oklahoma City, the overtime, when they went in overtime at the Garden about a week ago. The Knicks are struggling defensively, and it's really sad that they're even defensively, they're struggling more at home than anything. And it's this homestand where a lot of these games, they had winnable games versus some of these teams, and they can't close the deal. And another game, just like tonight, where a team was within reach to even had a lead. They came back down double digits and took a one-point lead, and they weren't able to hold on to the lead. And it's frustrating as a Knicks fan to see this really go down the way it has gone down, man. Fisher's a big, huge issue to this, and he's not there tonight. Can't really blame him on that. You got a lot of his assistants on there who's taking the reign. And I'm really frustrated when it comes to this right now. My patience is running low with the Knicks. My temper is gauging. It's rising. It's going to be a few episodes. Thank goodness for the All-Star break, because if it wasn't for that, I'd probably be on here ranting and cussing like we were last year when we only won 17 games. But in a night like this, I question a lot of the moves. I don't like some of these substitutions, the overplaying of Carmelo Anthony. It was even at its worst than whenever when Fisher was there. So, I mean, with the Knicks battling, trying to make a game out of it right now late in the fourth quarter, it's just – it's beyond this lack of effort. I mean, you could say on one hand, okay, well, they battled back, but this is what they've been doing. They battle when it's too late. I mean, you battle whenever you can, but you got to play consistent basketball for all four quarters. That's how I feel about it with the Knicks. You've got to play a consistent four quarters, offensively and defensively. That's part one. Part two, you got to play the right people. And the Knicks still, even with Kurt Rambis starting off tonight as head coach, he still doesn't play the right people. I'm seeing guys on the court like Kevin Seraphin. I mean, he looked like he lost a couple of pounds, man, since the last time I've seen him. He's a guy, he makes a lot of questionable moves defensively. He'll get you a couple blocks here or there. I saw a nice block in transition on a fast break he did. But But there's some guy like Sasha Vujicic. I know he's there for a veteran presence, but he's getting more minutes than some of these guys on the roster. I don't understand that at all. I don't understand him getting a lot of the blunt of the playing time off the bench behind Galloway. And I know Galloway, he's been proven to be a guy to come off the bench and even play with the first unit. I do like the let me even backpedal real quick. I mean, I do like the philosophy to a degree that you got to at least have a viable scorer in the lineup. So you can't go out. You got to at least have Carmelo Anthony or Kristaps Porzingis at some point in line, but you got to find another lethal scorer. You do have that off the bench with Derrick Williams. So I don't understand this playing a lot of this Carmelo Anthony all these minutes. I mean, he played hell of minutes, man, tonight. He played a lot tonight. And I think he's up to close to 40 minutes tonight. He still got you 29-13 in the game. You want him to score a lot of points. Porzingis, he had an excellent third quarter. I thought he was solid. He showed a lot of versatility, going spin moves, pivots, layups, running layups with the offhand. Very, very solid, very solid. However, with that said, they got to find a way to get it's a lot of stagnant basketball with the Knicks. Yeah, that's been the biggest issue, because when they were winning, when there were flaws, for whatever reason, the ball movement was pure, it was crisp, it was fluid, it fit into the way they were running things. But the Knicks, over time, have fell in love with stagnant one-on-one basketball, and they have got to get out of that funk. And maybe, they could do that coming out of the All-Star break. Just maybe. They have to find a way to do that. Just maybe to get out of that funk with one-on-one ISO basketball that they've been in love with the last couple of years. They have to find a way to move without the ball, because I'm watching the offense, and I see a lot of pass, I'll see walks, maybe one cut, a lot of guys just standing around, but there's nothing that's to the hoop, cuts, easy layups like they were doing earlier in the year. So you had that on the offensive end where they've been real slow, stagnant with attacking on offense, off the ball, because that's what's been pure about running that triangle offense was the movement away from the ball. That's kind of been non-existent for a lot of these games. And then I've seen the Knicks give up a lot of opposing three-pointers tonight. Washington was wide open a lot tonight. And they have a bunch of twos and threes on the court that can knock down those long perimeter jumpers, three-pointers, Bradley Beal, Jared Dudley, who's actually shot very well this season. And then you add on Otto Porter, Garrett, the other guy, Garrett. I mean, you have guys that can knock down the open trades, because it's all facilitated by John Wall, because he has the quickness to get deep into the paint, whether it's set up Gortat or Nene, or kick it out on the wing. So it's kind of like their engine is set up by John Wall, who had a lot of assists tonight, as I said. But back to the Knicks. They have an issue at the point guard position, and I don't see anything as of right now to solve that situation. I know maybe Phil is playing playing poker with the trades or whatever, and we've seen a lot of these quote unquote rumors. I don't buy into that until I actually believe it. I mean, there's a lot of stuff off the court where Knicks fans buy into these silly articles. Oh, the Knicks get this. Hell, the Knicks could have got Michael Jordan if they wanted to 20, 25 years ago. It doesn't mean it's really going to happen. So you got to, here on the Bleed Blue Show, we try to stick with facts. We try to stick with what actually is going to happen or actually is or has happened, and we could go from there versus wishful dreaming, wishful thinking. And I think We have to look at it like that when it comes to the Knicks. Still late in the fourth quarter, the Knicks still fighting down for I don't think, I'd be shocked if they come back even push it to an overtime. But there's too many games this season like this where the leadership is not there. Not saying it's Carmelo Anthony. I'm talking about a viable second scorer to really pick up the load. And I think Aaron Aflalo, who has shown flashes of that earlier this season, has kind of disappeared from that. He's got a blunt of the criticism by a lot of the Knicks fans taking that shot against Oklahoma City. But he showed some there was a one game, I think it was last week, where he had some decent scoring. But, I mean, you had the game last week versus the Detroit Pistons. We weren't on for the fan format that night. We had the Super Bowl show. The Knicks were down big early. They made a very late comeback, but they ended up losing. Then you play against Memphis the very next night at the Garden. You had a lot of they were up. Memphis was up. Knicks was back down. It's just like the Knicks just could not get over the hump. It's the same thing with Denver. Denver came into the Garden on Sunday, on Super Bowl Sunday, got off to an early lead just like the Washington Wizards did, and the Knicks make a comeback, had chances to win the game late, but they weren't able to execute. It's the same old song and dance with this team. And it's at this point, they got to figure it out. They got to figure it out. Now, it's still some life in the season. It's still some, you have to find a way. The coaching staff is going to have to get up within the next week. This is the last game before the break. They're going to have to get together and try to find a way to salvage this crap. You got to salvage this bullshit. All right? I think they have a shot. They're going to have to play well over 500. They dug themselves a huge hole right now as far as under 500, tailing around that 9th and 10th playoff spot, now just dropping like flies. I mean, it is the Eastern Conference. You could find a way to push the envelope where maybe you could get on a little run, and maybe the couple of the teams that's ahead of you, maybe they make a trade, maybe they make a trade and it doesn't work out. Maybe some teams, they go into a little funk, and maybe you could catch up or make up ground on that. But it's a lot more, man. But the Knicks' issues is more not worrying about other teams. Is per se, they got to get better defensively. That's the first thing I see. I mean, they're giving them too many easy points. Too many easy points. But that starts with a lack of a point guard, a starting point guard, defensively to hold or contain the opposition out of the paint and to create. But when you have John Wall, who's an all-star point guard in this league, he's dominant, he's fast, he's quick, he has great leaping ability, and he's starting to hit a little bit of his jumper he never really had. That is a tough assignment, but at the same time, he could get torched too, and we don't have a point guard that could get off on him. I mean, you could look at the game last week when the Wizards played against the Golden State Warriors, and Steph Curry went off for 50-something points on John Wall. We don't have an elite point guard. I think the Knicks are one of the few teams that just don't have that versus other teams, and this is a point guard-driven league with the rules the way they are catered to. And we need a point guard in the worstest way, man. So right now, the Knicks trying to make a game out of it, down one. About 7 seconds left. I had to start this post game right now to get some things off my chest. Now, I also will say I liked Robin Lopez early on tonight. I thought he did somewhat of a halfway decent job of dealing with those trees with Marcin Gortat. He played, he's a 14 and he got his 14-8 tonight as of right now. I thought he was decent. I don't know, like a Aflalo, he's an 11-point scorer. I wish he could get up to the 14-15-point range as far as scoring the rock. But damn, I mean, if you were the New York Knicks starting point guard and Jose Calderon, I know before his injury, he showed a little bit of signs of knocking down open shots, being more comfortable, but he's kind of regressed since coming back off the injury, the groin. He played almost close to 30 minutes and no points tonight. I mean, that is just unacceptable right now. Unacceptable. Now, as far as Langston Galloway, he's not a starter point guard in the league, but he's a very viable option off your bench. We just need somebody to control, run the rock as far as being a point guard on this team. Even if it's a point shooting guard, a point forward or something, we need somebody who's going to facilitate the system they're trying to implement. That's the one thing they got. They got to find a way to implement this thing, man. So I think they got a lot of work cut out for them, man. I mean, they're still fighting. There's a few minutes left, or a few seconds left in this game, and they're trying to pull it out. But even with a win or a loss, however you look at it, I mean, they got a lot of work to do, man. I mean, this is one of those even keel Knicks fan forum shows that we come here to do on the Bleed Blue show. Like, I don't care if they won tonight or they lost tonight. They have a lot of work. And it's a lot of that is cultural with the head coach. He's allowed a lot of some of these guys to do what they wanted to do over playing in these minutes. And these same minutes has carried over to Rambis on night number one. Hopefully, Phil, Stevie Mills, and the coaching staff, they sit down and maybe they have a phone conversation, a conference call, maybe go out for some steak, do something, meet up with each other, and get a goddamn plan for this team. It's not over yet. It's definitely not over yet. You got to find a way to right this wrong of this 2015-16 season for the New York Knickerbockers. Because they have this team has a little bit of talent, all right? They have a little bit of talent to do something, but they play down to the competition sometimes. They get off to funky starts. I just want to know what is said in the locker room or even in practice in between games, like, hey, how to get off to better starts. Because I can't remember a game in this season where the Knicks actually got up big. And maybe the Philadelphia game on Martin Luther King Day, but I'm talking about when they got up big and then they could just cruise. I mean, usually when they were in that situation, they were able to hold on and get these wins or however you want to look at it. But too many times of recent, man, too many times, especially the Detroit game. That was a brutal game to watch on last Thursday night, watching them down that big in Auburn Hills. And you can't lose to Denver. I mean, Denver's a decent team, but they're better than Denver. If they were to put it together, they're better than Denver. Now, in Memphis, that was a team that they played close when they were in Memphis about a month ago and on that Saturday, and then this past Friday, that's the thing about me on the Bleed Blue show. Now, you may not see me put a post on the Facebook fan page about the Bleed Blue show fan page on the Knicks at the time. Now, you may not see me post, you may not see me tweet or send an Instagram or a Google comment. I am always watching the Knicks. Well, I'm watching all the teams, but I'm always watching the Knicks. You may not hear from the Bleed Blue show, Steve, myself, or not. I keep a close hawkeye watch on the Knicks at all times. And I may not say it publicly. I may be venting more within. But the team has played like crap. It has played like absolute crap. And for what it was, they're going to milk this game right now in the last several seconds. And I look forward to hear what the Knicks fans may have to say on the Bleed Blue show, or whether it's on social media, as far as outside of trade rumors and all that other garbage. Just focusing on the team right now. Just focusing on the team. Because they're trying to force this overtime. They got to make a three to push it into an extra overtime, an extra 5 minutes. But as of right now, I don't believe it at all. Maybe they could steer me wrong. But with that said, the Knicks losing 111 to 108 to the Washington Wizards at the Garden. And I've been on here about 15 minutes right now, and I knew the Knicks were going to lose. That's why I started this fan forum so early. And I definitely want to get Knicks fans' ticks on this, because it's the same old thing with the Knicks, man. You get up. You get to the Garden, you do your little warm-ups, the team comes in, opposing team goes up early big, you got a fight to come back, you might show flashes in the middle quarter or whatever, but it's not enough, man. The defense is terrible. The rotation is garbage. I'm still scratching my head at some of the moves that, whether it was Fisher the previous 50 games or it was Rambis tonight. It's a lot of this. It's a lot of moves that I just can't believe what I'm seeing. And it's the same old since last Thursday. Whether we were on or not, I watched the Knicks at all times. Like I said, I watched the Knicks from a distance. And that game in Detroit was brutal. The game versus the Grizzlies at home was brutal. Super Bowl Sunday game versus the Nuggets was brutal. I could even stomach that game. And then tonight, being down early as they did in the first, and coming back with the bench, you know, then the flashes by Porzingis in the third quarter, and then the inability to stop opposing wide open shots. It's the same old storyline with the Knicks the last month, man. And it goes back, I think, since that last that Friday game versus the Clippers. They got smoked. They went down to Charlotte, played the most lethargic game of the season. And I think it's been such a bore, such a inconsistent product the Knicks have played since that Clipper Hornet weekend. And then even if you want to include the fourth quarter versus the Grizzlies when they were in Memphis, the Knicks have been a disaster, a straight disaster. And I'm about to blow the F up. I'm about to blow a gasket on this show because I've been calm for most of the season. I've been calm all summer. And the coaching, the players, I think they have the talent, but I think the coaches tonight, we discussed a little bit about it last night. You can go back to last night's podcast when we even discussed the firing of Derek Fisher. We'll bring that up tonight. But we'll see. The Knicks lose by 3. I already knew they were going to lose. That's why we started this fan forum early. But I'm going to bring on the guys as soon as possible. We're going to back to back. We'll bring on the infamous Knickerbocker Av, your source for the streets. Av, you thought this thing was going in overtime. I did not. What's going on? This is a carryover to Fire Fisher Part 2. How you doing?
Dude, good evening. I did not think this game was going in overtime. I didn't think Knicks had a chance to winning. But it was kind of exciting to see how open Langston Galloway was. I mean, I'm almost like a little dumbfounded that, I mean, if a guy already sticks a three in your face to cut it to a 1-point game, you would think you would pay attention to him. But that shows a little lack of respect on the part of the Washington Wizards, or just a lack of defensive efficiency. But let's just break it down. I mean, the Knicks tonight showed once again. Their slow start, the slow out the gate, they fall back really early. It really didn't make a difference to his coaching because it's the same story every night. The perimeter defense tonight was atrocious. I mean, I'm not even going to hit on the fact that, you know, Washington shot 16 for 26 from downtown, but the fact is that almost all 26 of those shots were wide, spanking open. I mean, these guys got good looks, just all across the board. It didn't matter what it was. Washington is one of the weakest rebound teams in the NBA. We shouldn't have really dominated. I mean, we're only a plus 14 on that end, a plus 5 offensively. We should have really dominated more. But what can you do when you have a point guard like John Wall? You have a decent two guard in Bradley Beal, and their bench, I mean, I don't know. Tonight, clearly, Knicks inflate tonight for me was Jared Dudley.
Absolutely.
I mean, 4 for 5 from downtown. I mean, nothing he threw up, did anything. It's just like water into that net, and I mean, it was a beautiful thing to see. But for him, if you're a Jared Dudley fan, but good night for Melo, 33 points, 13 rebounds. What more can you say about him? I mean, you can't expect him to do too much. But the minutes distribution to me was a little bit odd. I mean, Carmelo Anthony playing the first 16 minutes straight.
Weird.
I did find that odd. I don't fault the method in thinking on that, because obviously the thinking is, you have to mesh the two, you know, the starters and your bench a little bit more, which Fisher wasn't really doing that. He was kind of giving them two distinct different looks. But Rambis was obviously looking out and saying, all right, I got to keep either Porzingis or Melo out there. I have to keep my two guns in there, one of my two guns, if not both of them, there at all times. And I like his rotations. I like his play calling. Too bad his first one has left to wait about another week or two.
Yeah, a lot to be said. Everything you have said is pretty much what I already said as far as coming on, man. Hold on, Av. We're going to bring some more Knicks fans on. The call-in number is 929-477-4171. Knicks fan form the dialogue here on the Bleed Blue Show. We bring on Marlo. Marlo, another Knicks loss. The same way, different night, man.
Steve, Angel, my Bleed Blue brothers, how you guys doing?
Man, I'm losing patience, man.
Well, I want to shout you guys out because y'all been saying that about Fisher. You know, someone said something so funny. The problem with the Knicks is that their best point guard was a coach, and their best coach is in the front office. Only the
point.
Knicks, right?
Yeah.
You know, I won't get into the whole – I know we'll talk about Derek Fisher later, but I didn't watch this game, guys, and I'll tell you why. I knew it – I thought the Knicks, part of me was saying that the Knicks were going to have a little fire and desire, like Clyde likes to say, after, you know, I thought they would try to be a little inspired. But again, they were just going into the same habits. And what I don't understand is why they can't understand is if you don't give an effort in the beginning, then you fight back, you have nothing left at the end of the game. And this is what's been happening. Been happening for the last 8 or 9 games. Once I saw that first quarter, I was like, well, you know what? It's not going to change overnight. They still had this malaise about what happened the last time. So I said, I'm not even going to bother. And I just turned on Shameless. But I did catch it for the last 5 minutes. And the only thing I could take out of it is I think the last few minutes, Kurt Rambis did a much, he was like coaching as opposed to Fisher. You know, he put Porzingis in, you know, to block the inbound pass. He had Melo do the other inbound pass, which led to the three from Langston Galloway. Those are adjustments Derek Fisher would never do, and that's something that Steve, you know, like you and Angel have been talking about, how when it comes to end game adjustments, he wouldn't do it. And then, like, for defensive purposes, he put, you know, he put in Lance Thomas and sat down Porzingis. And Lance Thomas was able to get that foul on John Wall and send him to the line, even though John Wall is a great free throw shooter, unfortunately. But, you know, I saw adjustments. I don't think Fisher would have done any of that stuff. So is Kurt Rambis the answer? No. And I know we'll get into that later. But as far as I'm concerned, if I was Kurt Rambis and I'm Carmelo Anthony, I'm telling the Knicks, we don't deserve a week off. We need to start trying to do some adjustments because as far as I knew, when this team started, they were number one defense in the three-point perimeter. So where did that go? You know, you can't blame Fisher. You can't blame injuries. You guys just aren't wanting it like you used to. And also, when they were winning, you know, I made this point too, they got Robin Lopez involved in the beginning of games, and his offense is what carried on to the rest of the team. So they need some adjustments, and none of them deserve a week off as far as I'm concerned, except for Melo, you know, because you got to be careful with his knee, and he is going to play in the All-Star game. But as far as I'm concerned, like I said, if I was Melo and I was Rambis, We're all practicing and scrimmaging to get our act together because we got to start off. We have a whole week to get our ish together, and they better start doing it now.
Yeah, that was Marlo. We're going to go around. Let's bring on another call. The call number 929-477-4171. The Knicks lose by 3 to the Washington Wizards. The old school Bullets, the DC Bullets. Bring on Dom. I know Dom has a lot to say. Dom, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Man,
I almost did like Marlo did. I was going to watch the first quarter, saw where it was going. I was just going to set my clock to about 5 minutes to 10, wake up, see if they make that late push. But, man, it was, again, this is almost taking me back to the Oklahoma game where they was right there. And what a smart play by Galloway, even though he turned the ball over after it, when he didn't commit the foul and then got the steal. I mean, that's some pretty heads-up ball. I mean, they played like crap. And I think Marlo said in the beginning we were such a good defensive three-point defending team. But in the last 12, 14 games, we're giving up a good 43% from downtown. And I guess the Wizards must have read the scouting report because they was on fire. I thought, you know, me and my son always talk at halftime. We was like, they can't keep that up. You know, that's not going to happen. The Knicks will scratch back in. And, I mean, the Wizards are struggling just as much as the Knicks. So I'm thinking they're gonna scratch back in. These guys can't hit these threes all night. But it's the same old thing, guys. Now what are we, 9 games? The Knicks are playing each game, like I said months ago, every game counts. Now for the Knicks, it's like every quarter counts. They can't get over that hump in the first quarter, 33, 35, 38 points in the first quarter. That's unacceptable, and Marlo hit it on the head. Somebody, you dig and scratch so hard and so long that I'm surprised the Knicks had that much gas in the fourth quarter to keep it that close, be a shot away from going into overtime. That was incredible, guys, to be honest. I mean, we're heading in the wrong direction. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to try to make light at the end of this dark tunnel, but this was another hard one, guys. This is just getting ridiculous now.
Go back to Av and then go Marlo and then Dom. Let me ask you guys this. What do you guys – how do you fix this perimeter defense? I mean, this was an area that Knicks were not struggling in, and all of a sudden in some of these games, especially against like Washington tonight, a lot of wide-open threes, as Av said, and I said it as soon as I got on here. This team is giving up too many wide-open trays. I know John Wall's a dynamic point guard who could get deep into the paint, and he could either find an open big man down low for easy layup, or he could kick it out. But still, I mean, you have to account for this. How do you – Av, what's your thoughts on as far as the defense? It looks like last year when it comes to this.
You can't blame the coach on this because all the players – they just need to wake up and be more engaged. It's plain and simple. I mean, this is defense 101. Guard your man. And if they're going to be stagnant on offense, of course they're going to be stagnant on defense. And since the team has been over the last, 5 games, it's nonstop starting off slow, getting off sluggish, going, you know, missing your first 6 shots. Letting the opposition get easy buckets to the paint, and then they get wide open threes. Not to say that Washington is such a great 3-point shooting team. They're among one of the worst teams in the NBA in terms of 3-point shooting. Yet tonight, they had 26 shots, and all of them are wide dead open. And that just goes down to the players themselves. They just need to get back to the basics of covering your man. And I think what it is that they're probably thinking a little bit too much about the offense again when. I really didn't see anything real different about the offense in terms of their set. It's more or less a triangle, but they're still running pick and rolls at the same time. So it just comes down to the players and their pride. You can't just leave it on Melo because I think he's one of the few guys that is still really trying to, you know, play and give forth his effort all the time. A few guys here and there will give you, you know, the 100% effort, but it just goes down from top to bottom. I mean, you know, Calderon, we all know he's not the greatest defensive specialist, but, I mean, come on, you can be a deterrent, be a pest, you know, get some fouls if you need to get yourself into a position to deter John Wall and other opposing point guards from driving to the paint and make them dish it off because – The most dangerous weapon that a team has is an elite point guard with the ball in his hands. So if you can get the ball out of his hands, then that's a victory for you. So, and that's just basically what it is. They just need to get back to the basics and the fundamentals of just playing basic defense.
Go back to Marlo. And Marlo, I mean, how you are a starting point guard in this league and you play almost 30 minutes and no points talking about Jose Calderon. I mean, even before his injury, that groin injury, he was okay. He started to show a little bit of, he started to play better after the slow start of the season. Got injured, came back. He's really regressed. What's your thoughts as far as Calderon and anything else Av has said? And we'll go back to Dom as far as trying to figure this thing out going into the All-Star break.
Well, what Angel said is kind of like what Phil Jackson said, which I like. You know, the team has to be held accountable, too, because a lot of times they get rid of the coach. It's like giving the team a pass. A lot of the onus is on them, and these are professionals. I'm sorry. You know what I mean? They should have that. You shouldn't have to. I don't know. It drives me crazy if I have to show and teach you effort, or I have to show and teach you pride, or I have to show and teach you some determination or some will to go out there and fight. You as a professional should not want to be in that position. But the Knicks are just so content with, oh, we're down 10. Oh, we'll have to get this done. You know, I hate that attitude. And I'm going to say something that's not going to be too popular, but I don't care. That's one thing I miss about Shump. You know, Shump might have been not that great on offense, but he took a lot of pride in his defense. And, you know, and even Phil Jackson said his only regrets was giving up Shumpert, you know, when he had to get rid of a lot of stuff. He just wished Iman would have worked more on his jumpers. But you need somebody who's a stopper, somebody who takes pride in their defense or who wants to get at it. And, you know, I thought a follower was going to be that way, but he's horribly regressed. This whole team is horribly regressed. And there's no excuse for it. Again, it's the same team that did so well with their guarding the perimeter and guarding the three. So I can't really wrap my mind around what's happened. Either the only thing I could think of is either effort or teams have adjusted and the Knicks haven't adjusted. And that needs to be addressed, because that makes no sense to me at all. And the thing with Calderon, you know, I haven't been the biggest fan, because it seems like when one of the stars is out, that's when he wants to show up. You need to show up all the time, as far as I'm concerned. You don't pick and choose your time when you want to try to shoot or be aggressive. You're supposed to be doing that all the time anyway. But I'm looking right now. Our backcourt is abysmal. John Wall, 28 points, 17 assists. Beal, 26 points. Really? I mean, you know, things have to be fixed. And, you know, and that's why I keep saying, you know, I mean, I know we didn't get to that yet, but I'm so much wanting. Tom Thibodeau, you just don't know. It's driving me up the wall that Phil's probably going to lean to another Phil disciple, which is going to piss me off more than anything else.
Yeah, and Dom, as far as what Marlo just brought up as far as the lack of production from our own point guards, you've been watching basketball for a long time. You bring a lot of perspective to this platform to give us your Knicks opinions. Bobby, if you had to name, like, the top three things of since you've been coming on this season, if you had to list them in order, the issues, like how would you rank them right as of right now going to the All-Star break? Hello. Okay. Av, are you out there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I don't know. I thought it was just me, but I was looking for Dom, but maybe you could answer that question for me. As far as the top three issues right now, as you see it, as far as going into the All-Star break, the Knicks have to fix to kind of right
the ship. I'm sorry, guys. I have my phone on mute.
Oh, cool, cool.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead, bro.
All right. Okay, go ahead, Dom, and then we'll go back to Av on that. And then
you asked me the three things the Knicks need. And I said this in the summer when I first chimed in with you guys. Coach, coach, coach. And now you have this opportunity. You know, I'm going to go back to what I think it was Marlo. You know, you had a guy like Shumpert. Okay, you felt you had to give him up. He instilled some sort of defense. Let's look at this. Let's look at this track record of Thibodeau, the Celtics. Even though they had a big three, they was a hell of a defensive team. Who did they have? Thibodeau. He goes to the Bulls. The Bulls had about what the Knicks have now with all their injuries. And they had the best record in the East for 2 years. You know, you need that. I understand what Marlo's saying. That's the key. You got to have accountability. but you also got to have somebody holding you accountable. And this is where I think the Knicks are losing the ball. And I'm on board with Marlo. I don't know if he's the one that somebody tweeted a petition.
The petition, you know, that's me. For Thibodeau.
Yeah, get this guy right now. Here's the funny thing, guys, and I'm not going to beat this dead horse because I'm getting a little sick of hearing Phil Jackson. I never liked Phil Jackson. I don't like him now. I'm tired of hearing, wait, change takes time. You did the yard sale. You got rid of everybody. You got us 17 wins. You didn't get us no quality free agents. Now you have an opportunity to change what you've been preaching since you've been here, culture. Thibodeau will change the culture of this franchise. The Knicks could hire Thibodeau right now and win 10 games the rest of the season. People are going to look and say, they got Thibodeau as a coach. Wouldn't that just be an attraction for a free agent to come to New York? You know, they see Melo's on his last leg, but he's still a scorer. Thibodeau, big fan of Melo. This is the time. We can't keep looking back at Phil Jackson came in to save the Knicks, because so far, not so good. But now he has a chance to rewrite his wrongs. And I understand what Marlo's saying, and I said this a long time ago too, guys. And I even told Isola on the morning show, is Phil's ego going to disrupt us from getting finally getting a quality coach to this organization? You're not going to lure free agents into your team with a 30-win season, and a Kurt Rambis, 32-102 record as a coach. You're not luring nobody here, guys. Serious, come on. It's really shit or get off the pot right now for Phil Jackson. If he don't get Thibodeau, they should put him on his magic carpet and fly his ass back to California. That's how mad I am with this shit. This is unbelievable, guys. We have an opportunity here. Don't let it. If they bring another, like Marlo said, if they bring another one of Phil's disciples in, you know, I might start wearing my Hornets hat. Because I don't know if I can put up with this again. Because then we're going to hear change, and change takes time, and all this again and again and again. I'm pretty sure every one of us, I don't know how many of us on the phone have even seen a Knicks championship, but we waited too long, guys. You know, let's change this culture, as Phil Jackson says, and bring in Thibodeau. I bet you those perimeter guys won't be that wide open with Thibodeau.
Do you think they should do it over All-Star Weekend, get it done, and get it done right away, whatever it may be?
Do it as soon as tonight is over. They'll have seven. They got till next Friday off. And who's the one that said, Knickerbocker Ave? No time off. We're going to have a mini training camp with a new coach. And let's play ball from there. At least we're building something for the future. At least we're doing that. Quality coach. Come on, guys. We can't keep overlooking this. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I'm just stuck on Thibodeau. I've been stuck on him for so long since he got fired that it's amazing he's still out there. And we have an opportunity to get him while he's still out there. Unbelievable. Hmm.
Ev, what about you as far as head coach right now? What's your thoughts as far as who you believe in, who you buying into if you wanted to go with it?
Well, I know who I want. It's really a matter of I know what Phil's going to do. It's the writing's on the wall. It's going to happen. We're either going to stick with Kurt Rambis for the rest of the season, or we're going to get another triangle coach. That's just how it is. Phil Jackson is not going to change anything about his style because he wants to prove that the triangle offense still works today. And while we're at it, you know, you asked the question earlier. What's another thing that people, you know, that we're missing? Everyone's been saying we need a point guard. We need a point guard. We need a point guard. Let's get that thing out of the way. We're not getting another point guard. We're not trading for another point guard. There's a very good chance we're not even going to sign another point guard. Because why? Because Phil Jackson's triangle offense doesn't require a point guard. So that's another thing that, you know, that we as Knicks fans have to understand. It's either you're going to believe in everything that Phil Jackson is going to spew out to you, and drink the Kool-Aid and believe all the crap that, you know, about, you know, it's a process. We have to do this team mentality. You know, it's team oriented. You know, we got to work within the system. Yada 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 yada. You can either go that route, or you can start being some of the realistic and the open-minded Knicks fans, such as the ones that are on this panel right now and ones that have been on panels past, and start to believe that, you know what, maybe Phil Jackson is just not the way, not the person that's supposed to be here. He's not our answer. Unless he's coaching, then why are we running his system? It's been proven that this system does not work with anyone else except for him. Even Tex Winter himself, the man who designed the damn offense, wasn't successful with it. The only man who's been able to be successful with it is Phil Jackson. And a lot of people can say, well, he did have Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal, Scottie Pippen, and the greatest player of all time, Michael Jordan. So,
good point.
Are we going to die by the triangle? Because we're not going to live by it. We're just going to die by it. Or maybe the other theory that's been thrown out there, and I hate to, you know, to quote anybody else, so I'm not even going to mention their name or where I heard this from, but there is a very distinct possibility that the Los Angeles Lakers and Jeannie Buss will fire her brother in order to bring Phil Jackson back to Los Angeles and then leave the Knicks high and dry, or whenever his contract expired. So basically, this is not a real, you know, winning project for Phil. This is just a whole, you know, spending money so we can fund, you know, the wedding of Phil and Jeannie Buss. That's basically what this is. We're basically suffering this whole thing so that James Dolan can fund the wedding between Jeannie Buss and Phil Jackson. Because this nonsense has to stop. Do I want Tom Thibodeau? Of course I do. If I don't get Tom Thibodeau, there is only one other option that I will take: Mark Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Neither one of them are coming. I already know they're not.
And I've been on record harping for Mark Jackson. Although, see, Tom Thibodeau is not a far-fetched pick that I would go as a backup. I just don't think that's ever going to happen. I think Mark Jackson has more of a chance than Tom Thibodeau because of their personality.
So do I.
That's the reason why I've been on the Mark Jackson train. But I would be cool with Thibodeau because he changes cultures, as Dom said. And Knicks fans, the Knicks, the fan base will love a guy like that who preaches effort and defense. He runs the hardest practices in the league. But you know what? And it's enough time to do that, even if they were to go that route. But knowing Phil, what we know of Phil, with this the triangle, the trapezoid, the cylinder, whatever shapes they run in game to game, and the offense is stagnant. There's no triangle out there, guys. I'm watching this game on offense. I mean, they're standing around. The ball's not even moving, and it's just one-on-one stagnant ISO basketball. It's like that 50% of the game. It's not going to be those two guys, and it's more than likely it's going to be somebody like a disciple, like a Brian Shaw, you know, Luke Walton. Any of us could have went to Golden State and pretty much did what he did with that team.
Luke Walton is more than likely going to Phoenix or he's going back to the Lakers, if not staying right where he is, because now he has his choice.
Yeah, he has his choice at the pick, and. Marlon, what about as far as his offensive system, as far as what they're going to do to fix this thing? I mean, it is twofold, man. It's on offense, Marlon. The guys are not moving. They're stagnant. They get off the slow starts, and the perimeter defense is god-awful. And then you could blame the players on that. It may not even be the coaching. Maybe the coaching needs to get them culturally. They got to change it. I mean, this is still a runoff from Fisher. Because it seemed like Fisher was coaching to me tonight. He just wasn't on the sidelines. It's the same Knick game I saw last Thursday versus the Detroit Pistons or Memphis or Denver. But, Marlo, as far as what would you like to see, man, as far as to get back offensively and defensively, just back to basics on the court, quarters 1-4?
Well, I have to echo what Don was saying with getting a new coach in now. Because your ways, I mean, Kurt Rambis might be able to do something, but it's really a waste of time because his track record isn't that great. Now, getting back to Tibbs, first of all, I mean, I don't understand why all of us are just fans. And we see, not only in basketball, every sport, when you have a good defense, you always have a chance. stuff is based on defenses now. And, you know, look at the Super Bowl, what happened. It was defense that won that game. They couldn't score. When you can't have someone score, you always have a chance. And what kills me is our last few coaches, the first thing they say they preach during preseason is how they're going to improve defensively, and they haven't done it. And it's really mind-boggling to me because I'm the same way. I want Tibbs first or Mark Jackson. Having Thibodeau will do things, and I believe, twofold. Okay, some of the criticisms are knocks against Tibbs. He didn't really know – he really doesn't have an offensive scheme. Okay, that's fine. So keep one of your triangle guys to be an offensive coordinator. That's all. But, you know, as an assistant coach. But have Tibbs be the main guy. And also that he ran his players into the ground. Have that discussion with them. We don't want you playing these guys for like 15, 60 minutes back-to-backs and overnights like you did in Chicago. But – you know, and if you have a coach like Tibbs going into the off season, you know, like Don was saying, I agree 100%. That's going to make the place more attractive because they're going to be like, oh, look who you got. You know, I wouldn't mind playing for Tibbs because Tibbs is a winner. You know, Tibbs has proven that his system works. So, you know, if I was a Mike Connolly or Iman or whoever, they were like, oh, I know they're going to make us play defense in this system. I'm going to have a chance. So it's almost funny to say, but when it sounds right and it sounds perfect, the Knicks just won't do it. And Lord forgive me for saying this. I'm almost at the point I wasn't willing just to interfere and say, no, this is the coach we're going to get. Because I tell you this right now, I'm not sure how true those rumors are or anything, you know, that Knickerbocker had brought up and that Phil Jackson is, you know, going to go back to L.A. or whatever and he can opt out next year. What kills me on that front, too, is that whoever the coach is, the triangle is going to leave with Phil. And Phil's going to leave us with not a good system. And then we have to start all over again. And we're still wasting time in Melo's prime. So we might as well get a coach in here, get a system established, and get something going. Because if you're not going to coach Phil, then you need to leave the coaches alone. Get someone established in here, someone with respect, someone who everyone's going to listen to and play hard for, and that could attract free agents. It's a no-brainer.
I'm going to go to Dom real quick. Now, Dom, let's say if it was Thibodeau, I mean, we would see this favoritism. Calderon eating up a bunch of the minutes at the point guard position. We're not going to see a trade in this. I don't see a trade right now for the Knicks to make. So we're going to run with what we got. I mean, are we going to see more minutes out of other guys and less Calderon? Because I think that's where I see a huge gaping hole in how we run our offense, because his inability to get to the hole, and also defensively, guys go right by him, and it's a domino effect of trying to chase guys all over, and there's wide open shots left and right. You think because of a new coach like a guy like Thibodeau, or even Mark Jackson, you think at the point guard position, that's where you're going to see a huge difference in how defensively with the culture, because when he was in Boston, he had Rondo always on the ball. Derrick Rose, when healthy, or even Aaron Brooks coming off the bench, or even Nate Robinson. He had pesky point guards always on the ball the moment they got the three quarters of the court. But do you believe that that's going to be the case? If that's wishful thinking, if that was the case, if they were here, if he was here.
Guys, I am so far beyond blaming individuals because, you know, I understand the Calderon thing. And guys, Nate Archibald's not coming out the locker room for us. We are what we are. We can blame an individual every night. Calderon, tag, you're it, because he can't keep up with the point guard. I understand that. We got to live with that. But let me ask you guys a question.
So that's 30 minutes and 0 points, Dom. That's no production. He has much production as I did, and I watched the game from the couch.
I understand that. But like I said, Nate Archibald's not coming out the locker room. So, and I don't mean to sound – if you're going to play Galloway or Grant, I have no bones with that. But two quick points, guys. Who had the number one defense in the NBA last year?
Warriors.
Golden State.
Yeah.
Golden State. How many championships has Doc Rivers won without Tom Thibodeau?
None.
Thank you. That's the answer, guys. I don't want to beat this horse to death. I don't want to keep piggybacking off what Marlo's saying and Marlo piggybacking off what I'm saying. This is the catch-22, guys. This is it. You can't. I like Mark Jackson, but then again, Mark Jackson fell into a golden situation too in Golden State. Tom Thibodeau is a coach's coach. He's like a throwback of Vince Lombardi or some of these great coaches we hear about in all other sports. He does something right, guys, whatever it is, whatever finger he has on the pulse. And it's known that he would crawl to New York. So if we can't get this to happen, and somebody else just brought up a good point, this triangle and this Phil opting out. So Phil gives us a new coach. Phil leaves. This coach is going to go. Now we're starting over again, and now we're 3 years behind the eight ball again. As much bashing as James Dolan has taken, it's time for him to stand up right now and say, I want Thibodeau. I don't give a shit what anybody else in this room says. I want Thibodeau. He's made enough mistakes being the Knicks owner, and he's paid for them. We beat him up. Now it's time because let's think, guys. He has sat back and he has chilled out for the last 2.5 years. Now it's the time for him to stand up and say, you know what, maybe it's my turn to rewrite my wrongs. The Isaiah Thomases, the Larry Browns, all of this. Maybe it's time for me to step up and be the owner of this team, put a coach in here. Whoever don't like it, there's the doorknob. I'll drive you, I'll fly you, I'll put you on a fucking spaceship to get you out of here. But you can't let an opportunity like this pass us by. Where did Thibodeau start at as an assistant coach?
New York.
Thank you. Wasn't James Dolan the owner?
Yes, he was.
99. Yes, he was, yeah. No. He was in 99. He came in 99. Before that was
Big Jim. Big Jim was the owner.
Big Jim was the owner. Okay. Well, not James, but Big Jim.
Okay, but he started with the Knicks. We brought Phil Jackson back because he was a Knick disciple. We're going to try to bring back some of this glory of 1973. Well, come on, guys. This is a new league, new era. This is it, guys. This is like having Kevin Durant saying, I'm not going to sign with any other team but the Knicks. And Phil Jackson says, he don't fit in with the triangle. We wouldn't accept that, would we?
Well, here's the flip.
We wouldn't accept that.
Would Thibodeau want to come to New York? That's the other side of it.
Yes. Of course he would. He knows what he could do with the Knicks. I said it a few minutes ago, guys. What the Knicks have now, with Chicago's injuries and Chicago's this and that, he still had the best record in the East for 2 years. Yeah, they might have got blown out or lost in this round or that round of the playoffs. But that's where them injuries finally catch up with you because now you're playing better and better teams that are healthier, moving forward. So the wheels finally came off. But he took teams with as much or less talent than the Knicks have right now, minus injuries, minus this, minus Derrick Rose, your MVP, and he had the best record in the East. And this guy is available, fellas. It ain't like we got to try to pay him or pay Chicago or another team to get the rights to him. He's walking around without a job. Oh,
we can,
I don't know.
We can pay top to the middle of $1 right now. He'll take the job.
Exactly.
That's how bad it is. Just pay the subway token, and he'll probably come to the Garden.
And sources,
I'm pretty sure the Bulls owe him some money. So,
and sources
the
say
Bulls will probably owe him money, so he ain't in the mood for money. He ain't strapped for money, guys. That ain't the point. The point is get this guy right now. We got a week and 3 days off. And if that don't work the rest of this year, then you know what? We got something moving forward. No more pipe dreams. No more we brought in culture players and players that work in the truck. Bullshit. Come on, fellas. You know I don't like the curse. Come on. This is it, fellas. I'm serious. I can't even say it no more. I'm just getting sick. This is it. I mean, you got this opportunity, Phil. Do the right thing. Stop being stuck on your way or the highway because that highway goes back to L.A.
Mm-hmm. If you want to follow up on that, man, Dom makes great points, and I hear him. I got to hear it out of Thibodeau's mouth. The logic makes sense. The rationale makes sense. I got to hear from Thibodeau. I got to hear it say, I want to coach the Knicks. I have not heard that part yet out of his own lips. What about you, Av, as far as Dom said, what Marlo said, anything else you'd like to add as far as his head coaching disaster?
Well, Dom hit it on the head. When you have the opportunity right now, you have a week and 3 days to hold a mini camp. You can call Tom Thibodeau right now. Hell, all you have to do is just probably text him, and he'll probably answer. Do you want this job? Emoji smiley face. That's it. Tom Thibodeau would have probably coached this game right now in 5 minutes' notice. That's how much this guy really wants his job. And I know we haven't heard it from him directly, but enough sources, meaning people that know Tom Thibodeau, people that talk to him on a normal everyday basis, his agents and people within his circle, under the CAA family of nonsense, remember them. So I'm pretty sure that James Dolan probably already knows Tom Thibodeau is in his back pocket if he wants him. Roadblock, of course, is Phil Jackson. And if Phil Jackson is stuck to the bullshit of let's do it the triangle, let's stick to the triangle, let's do this, this, and this. Let's just do the triangle and that's it, because the triangle is going to work. And we're stuck with this nonsense for the next two or three more years at $15 million a pop, I might add. Well, we might as well just say, you know what, why don't we trade Carmelo Anthony? Why don't we trade Kristaps Porzingis? Why don't we trade all these guys? Let's get some draft picks in there. Let's look to the future. Because that's all we keep on hearing. Let's be patient, because in 2 or 3 years' time, guys, we're going to be great. Our future is so much better looking forward than it does right now. I'm sorry, but I don't think that, basically what you're telling me is you want me to ignore the rest of this season. You want me to ignore the 17-win season. You want me to ignore the 35-win season before that would have missed the playoffs. You want me to ignore all these horrible seasons that I've already lived through. I'm sorry, I can't just do that. A change needs to be made. Phil Jackson didn't take the first step and fired Derek Fisher. Great. You put Kurt Rambis in for the interim. Fine. But now you have the rest of this week and the rest of next week, and what you're basically harping on right now is that you're going to keep Kurt Rambis in for the rest of the season, and then look at guys like Luke Walton, Ryan Shaw. Two other, let's evaluate for a second. Brian Shaw didn't have the greatest run in Denver. Given he didn't have the greatest amount of talent because of all the injuries to Wilson Chandler, Danilo Gallinari, Nate Robinson, guys and so on and so forth, and the huge turnover, but he didn't have the greatest opportunity there. Kurt Rambis, we already know his track record. Jim Clements, the same thing. Luke Walton right now is the winningest coach in the Phil Jackson tree. And his record's what? 46-4.
You gotta put an asterisk on it. It's the Warriors. That's an asterisk.
It is the Golden State Warriors. That's like me coaching the '96 Bulls.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be my record, the '96 Bulls. But my point is that Phil Jackson needs to kind of wake up and either coach this team himself or step the fuck back, because my brother, you are killing us. This talk of the triangle, I don't even care about. I don't care about the triangle, the circle, the square,
the trapezoid.
Geometry wasn't my greatest subject anyway.
Right angle.
No one in New York City cares about no fucking geometry either. All we care about is one shape and one shape only, and that's the letter W. Get some wins, because this nonsense has to stop. It really does. I really do think, and I certainly feel that what Jerry Krause said last season was that Phil is doing this for the money, and so far it looks like that Jeannie's going to have the wedding of her dreams. It's going to be beautiful. Because, shit, $60 million.
Hey, and Marlo, besides the coaches, we've been on that for like the last 20, 25 minutes. Let me ask you, what about rotations of what you're seeing in the interim of Kurt Rambis? If you were to play this game the way it happened tonight, who would you rather have coming off the bench in rotation? I mean, are you cool with Seraphin ahead of O'Quinn? Are you cool with Vujicic ahead of Derek Williams? What's your thoughts as far as the rotations for one night only, or even the last, I don't know, five games or so? Well, actually, the last 10 games, we've been kind of stinking.
The rotations aren't that great. I wouldn't have Kevin Seraphin in before Kyle O'Quinn, definitely. And you know, I have to admit, with Vujicic, at least he's someone out there besides Carmelo with the post, because and you know, and Porzingis, but every other Nick backcourt person we have, I mean, Galloway does some good things too, but off the bench, I mean, at least he fights. He has some sort of, you know, he might not always hit the jump shot, but he annoys people and gets under their skin, and he tries to fight back and tries to get calls. So, I mean, he's, when he comes in, he tries to do something, you know. And I myself, like a New Yorker, like I've been all my life, we like seeing effort. And there's not too many of them who are doing it. I think Calderon's minutes should be reduced, and I don't know what's going on with Aaron Afalo. But I think they should really put more of Grant in there, and Derek Williams should get a lot more, because I did used to like the lineup where he would have Derek Williams, Melo, Grant, Galloway, and Porzingis mm-hmm. in like toward the end of the games in the fourth quarter. I think they should go back to that because they need some athleticism out there. And also someone who's a threat, and they're all threats, you know, offensively. So I really think they need to get back to that when it comes to crunch time, because I think Derek Williams would have been a lot more productive, even though they needed stops, and he's not the greatest defender. You know, I know Lance Thomas is a better defender, but, you know, I don't know. I just, when they had Melo and Derek Williams out there together, you know, they were very productive, at least point-wise, because – you know, the Knicks, they score, but they really, more than anything else, they need stops. And because you could do that with both of them, and also with Jerian Grant. Jerian Grant's a great pick-and-roll, pick-and-pop point guard. That's one of the reasons why they got him. So, you know, they got to mix some triangle up and get some pick-and-roll going on there also. And him and Porzingis, they're great together, Grant and Porzingis. They should try to exploit that, you know, try to use that weapon a lot more often. So, I mean, a lot of things need to be. I still think Kyle O'Quinn is being underutilized. I mean, I know he makes some head-scratching shots. But, you know, if you give him some bunny sometimes, they'll always leave him out for the mid-range jump shot. I mean, and our foul shooting is going down, too, because no one attacks the basket. At least Derek Williams was getting fouled. Nobody else on the Knicks really gets fouled. So, you know, there just needs to be a lot of different dynamics that need to be changed besides with the rotation.
You know what? How is your most athletic player on the on the team? Didn't even crack 10 minutes tonight. That's Derek Williams. I say he's probably the most athletic Nick on the squad, but that's mind boggling to me, man. That really doesn't make sense. And it even goes back to what I even said to Av and you and Chris and any guys who's on that fan forum. I don't know when the day we drafted Jerian Grant. I said from day one he needs to be starting. Now, I would have been cool if the Knicks were not achieving, but they were developing a point guard, because when you play a guy, it's mental reps. He gets comfortable with the league. He understands where to go, his spots, and all the other stuff. See, when you play a guy, you get him used to the flow of NBA game speed. He'll eventually adjust. He'll eventually adapt to the NBA game. And I don't think they did a good job with Jerian Grant this year. That's why I was really harping for him to start, because I know this is what you're going to get out of Calderon. And this is what pisses me off about this season. The one of the main reasons, because I know Dom knows he, and I'm going to go back to Dom. He watched him in the ACC. He was very good at Notre Dame. He's a smart point guard. He's a smart guy. He's going to make mistakes, but I would rather run with that, run with athleticism, than run with something that we already know who's been around, what, 8-9 seasons, probably even more. But, Dom, go back to my question to Marlo, and if you want to bring anything about Jerian Grant, because you watch a lot of ACC basketball, what's your thoughts as far as the rotations? Or would you rather have seen more O'Quinn? Would you rather have seen Les Vujicic? Or are you cool with who came off the bench tonight or the mix and match lineups with the starters in the bench tonight?
I wasn't a caller when the Knicks got Grant. I mean, I've chimed in about him since I've been talking to you guys. But here's the funny thing with Grant, guys. You know you got Calderon. You know what he does and what he don't do. So, I mean, would Grant have been that much of a downsizing or a downgrade if we would have just gave him the ball from day one? Here's a 22-year-old man that has probably played in bigger clutch games at the University of Notre Dame than he has with the New York Knicks thus far. He did pretty well. He did pretty well. They won the ACC tournament. You know, he played against tough competition, and he played in some big games. He hasn't been able to do that with the Knicks because they yank him out every 6 minutes. What about the night he had 10 points and 6 assists in the fourth quarter?
Mm-hmm.
He drove the
mm-hmm.
Knicks back. I forgot the game it was. We all remember,
I remember that game. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I remember. I know the game you're talking about. I can't remember the opponent.
Yeah, the biggest thing is with the rotation, Grant didn't play a minute tonight, did he? Did he get in the game?
I don't recall him being out there. I don't recall him being out there.
He didn't even get in the game. But Calderon had no points. So if Grant played and at least played better defense because he's more athletic, and he had no points, we would say, well, you know what? He's learning as he goes. But, again, guys, now we're almost 60 games into the season, and we're still saying who should be the point guard. Again, guys, Nate Archibald, Earl Monroe, Walt Frazier is not coming out the locker room. So you've got a point guard that you bragged about. Oh, we stole that point guard, see? We gave up all that talent for free last year, but who knew we was going to get this guy in the late round of the first, a late pick in the first round. And we got him sitting on the bench. It's almost like what's the kid's name that quarterbacks the Packers? Rodgers, who had to sit on the bench because Brett Favre didn't know whether he was going to retire or play. Rodgers turned out to be a pretty good quarterback, huh? When he got his chance, he turned out to be a pretty good quarterback.
Yep.
You don't have a point guard, but you got one that you bragged about stealing in the draft, sitting on the bench handing out Gatorade. Here we go again, guys. It's just mind-boggling to me. And to go back to that Phil Jackson coming out the seats, the coach, what's he going to bring? The triangle? Is he bringing Pippen, Jordan, Shaq, and Kobe with him? It's 2016, guys. Come on. He's stuck in the past. He's stuck on how he won. This is a different era, guys. Shaq, Kobe, Mike, Pippen, they're not coming to the Knicks. I'm pretty sure if they came right now, they might be an upgrade even at their age. But that's not happening no more, guys. It's not. Play this Grant guy, hire Thibodeau, and let's move on. And again, nobody wants to hear it 2, 3, 4 years down the road. But since you're selling us that nonsense, why don't you put a point guard in there that could possibly be our point guard 2, 3 years down the road? It's just mind-boggling to me, guys.
It would make too much sense.
It's mind-boggling every one of us. We're three fans, three individuals from three walks of. We're all probably from New York. We've all had different careers. We all did different things in life, family, no family, white, black, Hispanic, German, and we're all saying the same thing. What, does that make us rocket scientists? No, it just makes us common sense guys that see the round hole goes in, the round peg goes in the round hole. We ain't going to get into geometry and trigonometry and all that. No, we're not going to do that. But we all see what we think as fans. That would actually, I mean, I don't think none of us on this phone tonight disagreed on almost anything. And the key is the coach and the point guard. And again, guys, oh, Russell Westbrook might come to the Knicks in 2017. So that means we suck up the next 2 years and hope that Russell Westbrook comes to the Knicks. Okay, you know, I guess so. I mean, we bought this we bought this Zen dust for so long now that we all must be high. I don't know. It's mind-boggling, guys. I'm just sick. I'm sick.
Hashtag Zen dust.
Hey, let me say one more thing. Here's the funny thing. One more thing, guys. Remember when we used to dog Michael Jordan about being a president and a guy running an organization? How's that working out for him right now?
His team is better than ours.
Better position. You know, another team with a couple of point guards who are able to get deep into the paint, they create shots for the team, and they embarrassed the Knicks that night where it was the ice storm in North Carolina. They embarrassed the Knicks that Saturday night because they had the guard play and we didn't. It really comes down to that.
And he played 48 minutes the night before, scored 42 points in an overtime game, flew back to Charlotte, and still smoked the Knicks, and Charlotte was missing five players. Yeah. Okay. You can't help me out on that one.
Man.
I'm sorry.
You know what? Me hearing all this shit, I'm starting to question, like, why am I a Knicks fan?
Exactly.
Hey, this thing is making me question it. Like I know the Isaiah years, the Larry Brown years, the Scott Layden years. Those times really made me question myself. But who would have thought Phil Jackson would make me freaking question my Knicks fandom? This is getting ridiculous. Here we are, 2016. Hey. Phil Jackson making me question it, man.
Hey, you know what, guys? I could go to a Charlotte Hornets game, sit about 10 rows behind court level for $38.
Yes, you can.
Yeah. I could be a Hornet.
Not going to get that at the Garden. Hell no, you ain't going
to
get that at
the
Garden.
Dude, I can do the same thing, go to the Wells Fargo Center right now. I've been watching the lowly-ass Sixers, but at least I can, go down and talk to Jahlil real quick. Say, dog, what's going on? Get a picture with him, talk to him and everything. I can't even do that in New York.
I think the only arena that rivals the Madison Square Garden, maybe Staples. I think Staples, I remember looking at Lakers tickets over the years. Those joints are expensive. I'll give you that. The Lakers tickets
are expensive.
They
won
recently.
They
might even be expensive now. They might be expensive.
But they at least won.
They have 16 guys
on the show for the ticket price.
You're right.
To validate it.
You're right. They won. They've been a winning product for 40 years until the last couple. I mean, they were always winning. That was a winning franchise. You're right. Oh, Ab, anything else you'd like to add? Then we'll go back around for final thoughts to Marlon Dunn.
No, not really. I'm really starting to question my fandom at this point because if Phil Jackson
hold on, man. Just keep the faith, man.
But
I'm holding on.
More Zen dust.
Tomorrow morning, I'll be back and wear my orange and blue. But I mean, Phil Jackson is really starting to really piss me off to the point where I'm regretting the moment he actually came into the New York Knicks, because so far nothing he's done aside from drafting Kristaps Porzingis, which he actually just lucked out on because nobody liked it. Obviously, because he got booted out of the building. No one knew anything about it. You got lucky. But aside from all that, what has worked for him? And now he has the perfect opportunity to redeem himself in some way, shape, or form by getting a proven winner like Tom Thibodeau or a perfect favorite like Mark Jackson. Because even if you hire both those guys and they don't work out, let's just be realistic. Is Phil Jackson's legacy tarnished in any way? All favor. He's still a 13-time NBA champion. He's still the Zen Master, and he's still going to be ending up running the Lakers. So what does he lose by not bringing in a guy like Tom Thibodeau or Mark Jackson? His reputation is at stake only if the Knicks succeed. If the Knicks continue to fail, nothing happens. People are just like, well, he's not a good president. Or this is a bad situation, the team sucked, whatever. Let's see if he can do it somewhere else. And then when he destroys that franchise, because, of course, he's going to have the same freaking problems he's going to have in New York, he's going to have the same problems in L.A. because people are not going to want to go down there, and, you're going to have the same, coaching problems that you had in and out. So then what? Then what? I don't know. Phil, if you're listening, because sometimes I think you are, You should really consider Tom Thibodeau and just have a mini training camp over the next 13, 10 days.
And he's probably going to get rid of all those assistants that's currently on the staff if it's going to be Thibodeau, because a lot of the assistants Thibodeau had in Chicago, they're all on different teams. Like Ed Pinckney, remember Ed Pinckney used to play for the Boston Celtics back in the day?
Yeah.
I think he was he on Villanova in college? I think he's on.
From the
Bronx. As a matter of fact, he was just coaching against us on Sunday. He was an assistant coach in Denver. Then you had Andy Greer. He was an assistant coach under Thibodeau. I don't know what was the status of Adrian Griffin. I haven't heard from him in a while. So I don't know what kind of coaching staff he's going to assemble on the fly. But, I mean that, it's neither here nor there. The assistant coaches pretty much track minutes and manage back-to-backs and personal fouls and all this, hold the clipboard, be a yes man to a degree. So, I mean, you could get any of those guys and roll with it. Marlo, let's get some final thoughts from you, and take your time and feel free anything else you'd like to add. But I got to ask you, Marlo, if there's this petition you have, please let the Bleed Blue Show get a hold of that. Matter of fact, email the Bleed Blue Show with that. I will sign that personally.
I tweeted it to you in Knickerbocker Ave. I didn't tweet it to you before because I know you usually don't like things like that. But
I'm signing it right now.
Yeah, I tweeted it to you guys.
Matter of fact, put it on the Bleed Blue Show fan page. Put it on the fan page.
Oh, okay. All right, no problem.
I got to see this. I'm signing that sucker. Go ahead, Marlo.
But besides this thing with Thibodeau, there's something else I'm going to bring up that I've been talking about too. Okay, you give a 10-day contract to Thanasis. Let's be realistic. He's not a difference maker. Why? I don't know. So you don't give him his second 10-day contract. We need a guard, and Tony Warden is still out there. Now, before everyone groans and starts throwing tomatoes, can you guys definitely say the guards we have is generations better than Tony Warden? And no, I'm sorry. Our collection of guards are just not doing it. So why can't we try to get he's a tall, athletic, young guard who can at least get into the paint? That's what we're missing here. So someone like him also is just sitting in the cut. I mean, I know other teams haven't done it, but other teams have decent guards at least. You know, not all teams, but, you know, it's a guard-driven league, like everyone says. It's not so much with a big man. So why not give Warden a chance? I don't see what he could do. I think it's low risk, high reward. You sign him to 10-day and actually let him play some games and see what he can do. You have to try to bring a different dimension to the game sometimes. So if the triangle doesn't work, do some penetration. My thing is, guys, thing happens and Phil leaves. But he leaves us with one of his disciples and an antiquated system. And we're still going to be, you know, Melo's contract is going to be gone by then, by the time he's gone, and we're going to be screwed. We've just been after he made the commitment saying he wants to make the Knicks good again. If you truly want to make the Knicks good again, you have to think outside the box, get off your high horse and your Zen Tita or whatever it is that you drink and sleep and smoke or whatever, and get us a respectable coach. And that's Tom Thibodeau or Mark Jackson, and I'm telling you, more people will want to play here for us. We'll have a better chance of getting Mike Conley, and also try to think outside the box and get someone like a Tony Warden in here, because we need improvement on the backcourt. Our backcourt is miserable, and until that thing happens, we're going to be in trouble, guys. I'm sorry.
And one more quick question for you, Marlo. You got any plans for the All-Star break? Besides get that petition signed as far as you're the new head coach for the Knicks in your vision, but what's your plans for the All-Star break? We'll go to Don for his final thoughts.
Well, I'm going to watch the All-Star game, you know, and hopefully Melo's limits will be limited because, again, I feel the Knicks don't deserve a week off. They need to work. And
I hear you.
Melo has to do it, or hopefully with Tibbs. I doubt it, or Kurt Rambis. Somebody's going to have to tell these guys, you're not getting a week off because you guys need to work.
Yeah, that would be great. I would love to see Thibodeau come in and make the Knicks run suicide up and down the West Side Highway till they throw up. I would love that. that would be awesome. Let's go to Dom. Marlo, and first, another thing. Marlo, man, thank you so much for always taking out the time, even from the studies, to talk Knicks, because we love your aspect, the value you bring to the platform we call the Bleed Blue Show. And you've been on with us with the Knicks Fan Forum for a while, since its inception, and we can't get enough of your insight, man. We look forward to your thoughts after the All-Star break when we talk Knicks. And thank you very much, and keep on getting on those trolls too, man.
Thank you.
And absolutely. And Dom, your final thoughts, anything else you'd like to add? I know where you stand with the head coach. I know how animated and excited you got with talking to Thibodeau, but anything you want to bring in, anything else you'd like to say going into the All-Star break, and then your plans for the All-Star weekend as well, and then we'll go to the infamous Knickerbocker after his final thoughts.
I'm not watching no more basketball for a whole week unless the Knicks sign Thibodeau. I'm boycotting. I'm going through withdrawal. That's it. I'm not watching no more basketball. And you know what, guys? There's an old saying, and I see we're all old Knicks fans. Remember that old saying, when you get to the end of the rope, tie a knot? We ain't got no more rope left. We're done tying knots. That knot is gone. We got shoestrings right now trying to tie knots with. We can't do it no more, guys. This is the turning point. This is what we need. It's a no-brainer. Let's move on. You know, we're not talking about, you know, if Tom Thibodeau needed somebody right now to hold the clipboard with a stopwatch and monitor minutes, as long as one of y'all put me up or the Knicks put me up, I would do that shit for free. I am being well compensated from your government. I would do that shit for free. Hey, Tom, give me a clipboard. Matter of fact, Tom Thibodeau could probably be the coach, the assistant coach, the Gatorade man, the whole nine yards, and we'd have an upgrade. We'll worry about the assistant coaches at the end of the year.
Yeah, yeah.
Just take care of, you know, put the check mark in the first block, and that's coach. And trust me, we'll be much better off. And at least, guys, we'll be on the phone saying there's really some hope. Because there's no hope with what we got right now with the Carmelo Anthony with four coaches and 4.5 years, you know, our pipe dreams, our this, our that. It's time to make the change. And then we can move forward, and then we can all get on the phone and say, you know what, it is looking a little better now. Because guess what, guys? I'm not going to beat this horse to death. I'm not a big Aaron Afalu fan. He is what he is. I've said this for months now. He's an 11-point guy a night. There's a reason his career average is only 11.7 or whatever it is now, since he probably upped it a 0.5 or something with the Knicks. But there's a reason he is that. You know, he's a good 6-7 man. We can't expect miracles from him. That was another part of the Zen dust. You know, we brought in these quality players in the culture. Okay. You know, we can't hear that no more. I almost threw up when I heard them interviewing Phil Jackson in the seats. I almost threw up. Just by looking at him, I wanted to throw up. You know, looking up in the sky. I mean, the basketball gods ain't going to help you. You know, just make this one move and give us some damn real hope. That's all I can say. I'm not watching no NBA All-Star game. If the Knicks get Thibodeau, I might watch just for shits and giggles, but I'm not watching that. I'm depressed, guys. Come on. You know, not to the bridge part, but I can't put up with this much longer. This is nonsense. No. But I hope you guys enjoy the All-Star game if you watch it.
Nah, I'm not going to watch it. But, yo, Dom, man, thank you for you tuning in, the check-in with the platform to bring your value as an old-school Knicks head that you are. We always look forward to discussing basketball with yourself, man. And hopefully, if Thibodeau does come or does not come, these fan forums are still going to be on rotation after the All-Star break when we discuss Knicks fan forum weekly. So, man, Dom, thank you very much for taking out the time to tune in with the Bleed Blue Show, man. Appreciate that.
Thanks, guys.
And let's go to the infamous Knickerbocker Ave. Ave, I hope you're still breathing over there. I hope you didn't jump off the ledge on the low. Your final thoughts, sir, and before All-Star break, the thoughts on the Knicks of how you feel about this, any rumors you want to dispel and kill, and also your plans for the All-Star break, and then we'll wrap up.
Well, the All-Star break happens to be on Valentine's Day, so now, as a newly single dad, I'm going to probably end up going up north of Buffalo and hang out with some friends back up there, and probably, you know, hang out, do some Valentine's Day dinner, and then watching the game.
But I kind of don't want to because at this point I don't want to see good exhibition basketball, slam dunk competitions and all that stuff. I really don't care. For those who are wondering, the change.org petition that Marlo was alluding to is now up on the Facebook fan page of Bleed Blue Show.
All right.
So go on there and please sign up. I'm actually going to put it up also on Knickerbocker App. So if you want to sign up for either one on the Bleed Blue Show or Knickerbocker App, please do so. Hey, we got to send the message out. I mean, I'm pretty sure they're not going to listen to us, but we need to let our voices be heard. We need head coach Tom Thibodeau as the head coach of the New York Knicks. If a guy wants to be here and he's a proven winner, why not? He probably will still run the triangle anyway, so why not? But this team needs to wake itself up. And it's from top to bottom, from the players to the coaching staff to the front office, and yes, even now in ownership, it's almost to the point where we're now almost asking and begging for James Dolan to step in and say something. That's how bad it's gotten. You can argue that the team is better than last year. Hell, we were better than the team that was last year, and we didn't play a freaking lick. So that's just an ending argument right there. If you're a fan of this team, be a fan of this team, but be realistic. Don't just sit there and sip on the Kool-Aid and just be like some of these fan groups that don't allow you to speak really, you know, speak that realness. That's why we come on this show, because we get to spew our love and passion for this team every single night. If you're a part of those groups, much respect to you, but me personally, fuck them. But next click, fuck, you know, them, you know, this freaking group, that fucking group, I'm getting sick and tired of it. Let's be real. This team is fucked up, and something needs to change. They made the first change. They fired Derek Fisher, and then they replaced him with Derek Fisher's number two. Does that make fucking sense? No, it doesn't. If we're going to make a change, let's make a real one for real.
That was the infamous Knickerbocker Ave. I'm going to the Knickerbocker Ave fan page by the end of the night, and I am making a beeline to that petition. Shout outs to Marlo, shout outs to Dom, shout outs to the infamous Knickerbocker Ave. They fired Fish. We discussed a little bit about that last night on the podcast. You can check that out on bleedblueshow.com/podcast on our recap of the Super Bowl episode, but also they're 3 months behind Firefish, so we're 3 months. We're on some Benjamin Button shit right now with the Knicks, man. We're making the right moves, but we're behind schedule. So do what Dom says or do what Marlo says. Get the head coach that we need to maybe even right or salvage the season to maybe even make a push for that final playoff spot. It's possible in the East. It really is, but as far as my plans for the All-Star break, I am not watching that. I haven't watched the All-Star weekend, including the one in Madison Square Garden. I haven't watched an All-Star weekend in years, and I don't plan on this year either. But whatever happens with an exhibition basketball. Toronto, nice city if you've ever been out there, man. It's a great city. It's probably a great venue to have it, but I will not be watching it at all. We'll be, as the Bleed Blue Show, just getting ready to do another episode week in, week out, what we call the Forum for the Fans. And I'm probably enjoy the weekend with some family and friends. So that's pretty much, I'm going to keep it real laid back and all that. But for Dom, for Marlo, the infamous Knickerbocker, if you go to bleedblueshow.com/podcast, iTunes, Podcast Republic, tune in or your Stitcher app to download this classic episode of classic Nick rants of Marlo, Dom, Ab, myself. We're out of time. We'll be back on next week. Who is the Knicks playing next week? Let me check out the schedule.
Brooklyn.
I don't even.
Brooklyn.
When's that game?
The night
Friday.
Friday.
Steve,
nah, we're not
did you
on
unfriend Friday. Me on Facebook?
I don't even know if I had you. I gotta check
that
out.
Oh, okay.
Let me know. Add me at the Bleed Blue Show. Go to the Facebook fan page, and I'll find you on there. It'll be easy.
Yeah, well, I put in the request. I was surprised. I thought I was on there already.
I never seen that. I know you. I didn't even know you had it.
I don't think I have you either.
Well, I don't like Facebook, so that could be why.
Let's see. Oh, okay. Okay, we got the Raptors on Monday. Monday the 22nd. No. Hold on. I'm sorry. I'm 2 weeks ahead of time. I'm sorry. Damn, I got to look into it, man. The Knicks, we ain't got no Knicks games next week. Oh, yeah, Brooklyn. I know, you're right. I actually have it on the schedule. We got Brooklyn. You guys are right. We don't do the Friday ones, but I'm putting the Friday one on now. We got Brooklyn on Friday. That's right. On the schedule for the Bleed Blue Show Fan Forum. All right, cool. Sounds good. All right, man, out of time. Share this show, man. Hear from real Knicks fans who give a damn, man. Av, I feel you on those groups, man. You already know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
That's that fairy talk stuff. All right, man, we're out of time. Bleed Blue.
Chocolate Blue. Can you dig it?
Can you dig it?